Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. As you know, we're keeping you up with what day it is, what year it is. It's part of our job here. So it's Monday, May 4th, 2020, in case you were wondering. Thank you for listening to AFR. Ed Vitagliano is with me to co-host today. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And Fred Jackson.
Good morning. Beautiful spring day here in Mississippi.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't it, though? It's a beautiful spring day.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to some friends yesterday in Wisconsin who they're now... They're now experiencing spring, and they get spring for 2 months, and then they get summer for 2 months, and it's back to winter.
we're kind of the opposite. I was actually talking to a couple of cousins up in New England.
Yeah.
I had a cousin pass away. It wasn't unexpected. But anyway, so I was talking to a couple of my cousins, one in New Hampshire, one in Boston. And so they were asking, well, how's it down in Mississippi? I said, well, I said, we're in our 3 or 4 weeks of spring. But I said, the longer it goes on, you almost can't enjoy it because the longer it goes on, the more you know the heat wave is coming. You know, so I said, we're just waiting for the bottom to drop out of spring and go too hot.
I know. And where we live, we've finally had 7 consecutive days without rain.
Yeah.
I think 6 since November, probably. So
that, you know, that's probably true.
It is.
Yeah.
Just rain all over the South. I know since October or November of last year. All right, Fred, what's leading the news, sir?
Well, what's leading the news and what we're chasing in the newsroom at this hour is the latest effect on measures against COVID-19 and how it's impacting churches across the country. Now, you know, over the last several weeks, we've been dealing with cases where mayors of cities going after churches for even having drive-in services and, you know, people being ticketed who were at drive-in services for churches. Well, now there's a new case, and this one is out of Kansas City, Missouri, where the mayor there, Mayor Quentin Lucas, is telling churches, hey, if you want to open up, we are going to require you to keep lists of people who attend your services. We want to know the names of the individuals and where they live. Now, they say it's because, well, if somebody gets the virus, that we need to know. Now, you only have to turn over the list if that happens. But you got to hold on to this list for 30 days. Now, this has alarmed many, including Matt Staver of Liberty Council. We're going to be hoping to talk to him a little bit later today. But comparisons are being made about, what is this, Nazi Germany? We're now keeping lists of people who show up at your church. Now, here's what's interesting. Grocery stores, medical offices are exempt from the mayor's edict. And I started wondering this morning, you know, I was at a hardware store here in the weekend, and there were all kinds of people in that hardware store. Parking lot was full. Nobody took my name and list going in. So the mayor says, you know, churches are considered like non-essential businesses. That's the phrase that he used. Therefore, they have to abide by those rules. But this has a lot of people upset.
Well, and I think rightfully so. This is, you know, we've had, and we talked to Abraham Hamilton III again this morning, and this is one of the things he has said. He's reiterated where governors, where mayors, where governments step across the line is when these kind of emergency orders, when it affects like First Amendment rights, which this obviously does, religious freedom. They have to be limited in time. They have to be applied across the board, They have to be during true emergencies. And that applied across the board equally. In other words, you cannot specifically target churches for overly restrictive kinds of executive orders. This seems to me like this is a clear case of that, that Kansas City Mayor Quentin Lucas has said, I think churches are non-essential, so anybody who shows up, you have to take their name and address and hold it for 30 days. I don't know where these guys get off, and I don't know who's counseling them, but this seems like it should be an easy win in court.
And I don't know if you noted that, Fred, just a minute ago, but this is Kansas City, Missouri.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Not Kansas City, Kansas. And Dr. Ray Pritchard, he lives in Kansas City, Kansas. He hosts this show on Tuesdays and Thursdays. He'll have some comments on this tomorrow. He lives on the Kansas side, and he just wanted to make sure we understood that this only applied to Kansas City, Missouri. But let me ask you this. What possible reason, Fred, could you want the names of people who go to church in Kansas City?
Well, according to the mayor, and this is a quote, Matt Staver quoted the edict, to more quickly trace, test, and isolate individuals who may have been exposed to COVID-19.
Is that a legitimate reason, do you think?
Well, it would be, you could argue legitimacy, I think, if it applied to everything. But, you know, Walmart in Kansas City, Missouri, doesn't have to keep a list of its customers. Now, people may say, well, there's thousands of people. But hardware stores, like I talked to you earlier, I went to a hardware store in our town this weekend, parking lot full. Nobody took my name and address, phone number. We want to get in touch with you in case we find out.
I would guess this is unconstitutional, but I guess we'll talk to Abe about this. But anyway, I don't see what he's saying is, in case there's an outbreak of COVID, mm-hmm. in that we will be able to trace and or contact the people. That is standard procedure for, well, this is nothing about this, is hardly standard procedure, but I mean, Ed, if you were to give the mayor the benefit of the doubt on this, he would be wanting to contact people who were infected.
Yeah, but to Fred's point, they're not doing that for a host of other
that's true
businesses. I mean, even when you go to a drive-through,
yes,
you go to a drive-through to get some food. I mean, they hand me, you know, the bag, our order. They're not wearing gloves. You know, what if I get COVID, or what if I give to them when I give them money or my card? You know, so I think the sticking point is going to be what the mayor means by churches being non-essential and why they're being treated differently. Of course, it's an Abe question, but obviously Liberty Council, the founder and chairman Matt Staver, said this is unconstitutional. That's what he's saying, because of the targeting of churches and not applying the same rule to others. So, in other words, it might discourage people from going to church rather than to the hardware store or to the big box store.
Also, just the idea of churches having to hand over names to the government for any reason. That makes people, you know, nervous, as you can imagine, or makes you wonder, what are they going to use these for? And I don't know. It doesn't look right.
Well, and a lot of these rules just don't make sense. So let's say you have a couple of people at the church service who later come down with the coronavirus. How do you prove that they got it at church?
That's true.
I mean, so you're going to contact all the people in the church who attended the church service?
A lot of these mayors and governors, I think, especially up in blue states and blue areas, they're using this as to impose their authority.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just in an overreaching fashion. By the way, did you guys see where the governor of Oregon, I know we have some listeners in Oregon, has extended their lockdown, if that's what you want to call it, I want to say till August, something like
that. I think it was July 3rd.
Or July 3rd, okay.
Yeah. Now, he may then
and they've got they got August. they've got a very low rate.
Yes.
Of COVID-19 in there. In their state. Fred, do you think there's reopening of states that are going on, mostly in red states.
Mm-hmm.
With the exception of maybe Colorado. Colorado is moving toward opening. They've got a Democrat governor. Colorado's purple, I guess you could say. But this is going to be quite a contrast as we see red states opening and blue states, you know, being safe till 2025.
Well, I tell you what, we're going to find out, and I'm just warning our audience right now, beware of the media coverage over the next 2 or 3 weeks when it comes to states like Florida that effective today are opening up more and more businesses.
And the beaches.
States like Texas, Mississippi, several other states that are opening their
doors. Tennessee.
Beware of the media coverage, because the media is going to come in like hawks and say, aha, we saw there were 20 more COVID deaths over the last 2 weeks. There you go, Republicans. See, you don't care about human beings. You're more interested in the almighty dollar.
I think maybe that worked 3 weeks ago, Ed. I don't think that's going to work anymore. I think most Americans see through that and understand that it's a false choice that you're going to have to make, that many in the liberal media are trying to put the red states into.
Yeah, so you either love human life or you love the almighty dollar. That's the false choice.
Keep in mind, this is the party that supports abortion on demand up to the floor, and basically infanticide.
Yeah.
The Democrats. These are the people who now say they're championing human life.
Right.
I mean, I know they don't, I know they would reject the premise of that. But it is a reality that an unborn baby is a human being. It's alive. The reason you have to abort it is because it's living.
Yes, and if you did nothing, it would be born.
Yeah.
So, I think most Americans are getting increasingly savvy in terms of understanding this coronavirus and all the kind of complexities around this. And I think more and more what they are deciding is that we can't stay inside forever. What we need to do is isolate the people who are most subject to getting and being hurt or killed by it, but not isolating everyone else, because you just can't live that way.
Well, also, we have our freedoms. So if you don't want to go outside, if you don't want to go to the store, if you don't want to go to church, don't.
Right.
Don't. But for the rest of the country, for the people who are... that I don't mean to sound unsympathetic. People who have underlying conditions. I mean, I would, if I had an underlying condition and I were at risk, I would probably stay at home too.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But or at least avoid high risk situations.
Right.
But for the rest of the people in the country, you're staring down economic collapse, right?
Yeah.
Or economic ruin. And they're trying to, they're saying, listen, I've participated in this for 6 weeks. I'm willing to take a risk. I think with going ahead and reopening my business or employing people or getting back to some sense of normalcy, probably going to avoid the big crowds, right? I'm talking about where people get together without social distancing, let's say big sporting events and things of that nature.
Right.
But as I said last week, I think the vast majority of Americans signed up for flatten the curve.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't sign up for the Great Depression number two.
Right.
You know, so that's what the realization is. I think you're right, Fred. The liberal media are going to point out the rise in numbers of, by the way, in numbers of people getting the virus are going to go up because people are getting out more and with the states reopening. But again, it's a balancing act, and I'm sure that the governors are going to have to watch it closely, and maybe where they see hot spots flare up, they may have to impose stricter restrictions on those places. But anyway, go ahead, Fred.
The reality is across the country, more and more hospitals are reporting that the number of admissions are going down. Just this morning, and again, we always preface our remarks, every death, our hearts go to the families. But across the whole country, the latest report, 117 deaths in the last 24 hours. Across the whole country of 330 million people.
Just 117 deaths?
Are you sure about that?
Yeah, I'm just reading here from, this is the worldometers.info. New deaths, as of this morning, 117. Now, they track this through the day. So this is the latest number that they had. 3,843 new cases. Cases versus deaths.
Yeah.
All right? So let's be clear about that. But you look at state of California, three new deaths in the last 24 hours reported. Now this is what's being reported at this point. But all of that to say, I've been tracking this Worldometers now for the last 6 weeks, and what we're starting to see is a trend. And if you start to look at the graphs for various states, we're on the back side of the peak. In these states, as you go across the country, we're on the backside. In other words, the number, the rate of people dying per day, per week, is going down.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
Across the country.
That's news. That
led to, last night, Fox had a town hall with the president.
Hey, Fred, before you get into that, Ed, tell folks how they can join us on the internet.
If you want to watch this program as we air it, that's right. It is a rare treat. Now, you won't get to see Fred, but one day soon, Fred will be back in this studio.
Right.
We'll warp him in from Studio Venus.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you want to watch, you go to either Facebook or YouTube, and you type in as a search today's issues, and you click through, and you can watch the video stream of this program.
And we post the stories that we discuss, the original sources that Fred gathers for us on our Facebook page.
Yes.
So you can check that out as well. Go ahead, Fred.
Yes. Last night, Fox News hosting a town hall with President Trump. And of course, now the talk, as we transition through various phases of this story, is okay. And we've been talking about this, numbers of states starting to reopen, get the economy back. The president last night saying probably over the next several months towards the end of the year, we may see the number of deaths climb as high as 100,000 people in this country. As of this morning, 68,715. But he says at the same time, we have got to start reopening our country's economy because we can't keep millions of people unemployed. I think as of last week, 30 million Americans had applied for unemployment. And that cannot be sustained in this country. So here's the president last night dealing with this idea of trying to balance between beating the virus and economic recovery. It's cut number two.
Well, I think you can satisfy both. If you're scared, you're going to stay back a little bit and you're going to watch it. But there are other people that are scared about being locked in a room and losing their job and not having any income. And, you know, for the first time, these are workers. These are people that want to get back and work and make a living. And they're afraid their job's not going to be there. And at a certain point, if you keep it going too long, that's going to happen. So I understand that very well.
Yeah, so that the president is exactly right. We cannot keep... I mean, there's not enough taxpayers' dollars to keep people with paychecks.
By the way, I watched that last night. Mm. I watched the vast majority of it. I'm talking about the president, the town hall meeting he had at the Lincoln Memorial. And it also featured, featured like it's a movie. He had Vice President Pence on. I saw that as well. And I thought the president acquitted himself very well. During that interview, Brett Baer and Martha McCallum, obviously Fox is a friendlier venue than maybe some other cable news channels that the president spars with on a regular basis. But the questions were not easy questions. They didn't just launch him softballs. There were some very difficult questions, and also There were some questions that he fielded from video from around the country from citizens, which weren't always, you know, they weren't softballs either.
Right.
So I thought the president did himself very well. Now, his numbers have gone up. Numbers, they could go back down by the end of the week.
Right.
I mean, who knows? But I'm just saying, according to Gallup, the president, his approval rating went back up 6 points at the end of last week, Fred. Is that right?
That's up to, 49% now. Agree with, say the president is doing a good job.
Personally, and I'm glad he took my counsel on this, I think less is more. All right. I think the president was overexposed, so to speak, for, you know, when they were doing those daily briefings.
Marathons, too.
Yeah, it just got, I quit watching after about two or three weeks. I didn't watch them all anyway. You got to have an hour and a half to sit down and watch,
right.
But I would watch the highlights, as it were, on news. But I think they served their purpose, and they were hurting the president. And I think his advisors told him that. I would like to have been in that room, right? And he listened to them, evidently, because he hasn't been doing those, right?
There was a daily battle between the president and the reporters. And the reporters had their gotcha questions every day. And the president being the president. In fact, you mentioned there were some write-in questions to the president last night. And one of those was his dealings with the press. Here's how he responded to that. Cut number one.
Question I have is about your manner of presentation. Why do you use descriptive words that could be classified as bullying? And why do you not directly answer the questions asked by the press, but instead speak of past successes and generally ramble? The USA needs you. Please let go of those behaviors that are turning people away from you. Please hold on to your wonderful attributes that make you our great leader and let go of other characteristics that do not serve you.
I'm not sure, but I think I like that question. I appreciate it. I appreciate the prayers, too, very much. I am greeted with a hostile press, the likes of which no president has ever seen. The closest would be that gentleman right up there. They always said Lincoln. Nobody got treated worse than Lincoln. I believe I am treated worse. They come at me with questions that are disgraceful, to be honest, disgraceful. And I feel that if I was kind to them, I'd be walked off the stage. I mean, they come at you with the most horrible, horrendous, biased questions.
That's the president last night responding to that question about his dealing with the media.
Hey, he's absolutely right. I mean, most of the time I'm watching, the press asks questions that are accusations. Mm. It's like the old, kind of example. When have you stopped beating your wife? Well, how do you answer that? If I say I stopped yesterday, then I'm admitting that I beat my wife. If I try to deny that I'm beating my wife, now in everybody's mind, they're thinking, wow, does this guy have a problem with beating his wife? So I would be equally sick and tired of questions that are accusations that are framed in a way that try to make the president look as bad as possible. Maybe he can avoid those situations, Tim, by not having those kinds of briefings. That seems to be what he's doing. But if you're going to have these briefings, you got to have some fight in you, or they will run you right off the stage.
I agree with that. But I just think don't do it every day.
Right.
You know, and if you need to point out the question, he does that. He'll say, yeah, that's a nasty question.
Yeah.
You're a terrible reporter. I mean, he doesn't mind telling them that.
You're fake news.
But after a while, I'm thinking, you know what? You're the president of the United States. You don't even have to take these questions like this if you want to. Do it a couple times, three times a week, but not every day for 2 hours.
Right.
All right. We shall return momentarily with more of today's issues on the American Family Radio Network.
On the next Today's Issues.
We appreciate hearing from you. You can send us an email at comments@afr.net.
I pastor a small church, so I have to have a full-time job on the side. When I try to feed the flock, y'all feed me, and I thank God for y'all.
If you want to watch the show live, you can go to Facebook or YouTube. Just type in Today's Issues. And you can also access the stories that we talk about.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Well, if you're going to quarantine yourself through September, there's no point in listening to the rest of this spot. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. And we've got a great spiritual heritage tour lined up in September. It includes back-to-back tours. First of all, we're going to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. And then we're going on to our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., and we're going to see George Washington's Mount Vernon estate as well. So those are two separate tours. You can do either or. Or if you want to do them back to back, you can do that as well. So these tours are September 16th through the 20th for Washington, D.C., and September 13th through the 16th for Williamsburg. If you want all the information on our Spiritual Heritage Tour, go to spiritualheritagetours.com. SpiritualHeritageTours.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and folks, Liberty University believes a private Christian education should be affordable to everyone. That's great, right? It doesn't matter if you're from California or Maine or anywhere in between, you may qualify for up to $20,780 over 4 years through Liberty's Middle America Scholarship. For more information, text MAS to the number 839-858 today. Again, that's MAS to the number 839-858. There's good news and weird news for Christians who live in Knoxville, Tennessee. The government says it's okay to go back to church, but there are a number of rules and regulations. I was especially curious about an edict from government leaders banning what we in the Baptist faith tradition call the Lord's Supper. The physical taking of communion and sacrament should not be performed due to the serial breaking of physical distancing across a congregation. Instead, the health department recommended that the Baptist and Methodist and Catholics consider guiding parishioners in how to connect with the spiritual aspects of communion. What in the name of Billy Graham are they talking about? The city of Knoxville also told churches to remove communal items like hymnals and Bibles. Oh, no offering plates either. You know, I'm surprised the government's not requiring churches to pay a 10% pew tax. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Okay, so the welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Tim, Fred, and Ed here. So we were talking about Oregon. The governor there extends Oregon COVID-19 state of emergency to July the 6th.
Oh, so that's just past July 4th weekend.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to read what that all that entails. Well, to remain in place for another 60 days.
Wow.
The extension allows the governor many executive orders linked to COVID-19, such as rules around large gatherings, business closures, and eviction prohibitions, to remain in place for another 60 days. Brown is able to extend or terminate, that is the Governor Brown, this emergency declaration at any point. So, if you live in Oregon, we'll see you in August. Good night. How do you do that? Huh?
Well, how do businesses survive?
Well, a lot of them aren't. Now, the big corporations, big companies, big box stores, big grocery stores, they'll survive, but a lot of these small businesses just will never reopen.
And they have a low rate of, as I mentioned earlier. I don't understand why she's doing this. I will say this, though. You get the governor, you get the government you vote for. So evidently, Oregonians are happy with this, are good with this. I shouldn't say happy. Nobody's happy about it.
But right.
They've elected her as their governor. She's leading them. And she said, we're going to July with this stay-at-home emergency lockdown. So evidently, she feels they're at risk for an explosion of COVID-19, even though there's no evidence for that.
Yeah, Oregon. And this from the very beginning, this has been hard for people for this reason is nobody knew anything about this virus. It was called a novel coronavirus. The various strains of coronavirus have been around for a long time. This was a new one. There was at least initial models that said, you know, close to 2 million Americans could die. So we didn't know if that was true or not. So initially the steps were taken, as you've mentioned, Tim, to flatten the curve, not to overwhelm our medical professionals. And so I don't think very many people fault governors or the president or even mayors for wanting to preserve life. But now that it's becoming increasingly clear this is not as deadly as they thought, I don't know how you get away with another 2 months of lockdown.
Well, it'll be up to the citizens of Oregon whether they protest enough to. Again, if you're gonna you vote for the kind of leadership that you get, and Oregon is a blue state. They wanted a Democrat progressive governor, and that's what they got.
Yeah,
and she's ruling like one.
Yes, that's right.
All right, Fred. Next story.
All right. Well, over the weekend, there was a release of Australia's Saturday Telegraph newspaper got their hands on a copy of what five countries have put together. It's called Five Eyes Intelligence Alliance. It involves the United States, Canada, the UK, Australia, and New Zealand. And basically, guys, just to put it bluntly, it confirms what people have been saying about China's secrecy. And how it amounted to, and this is a quote, to an assault on international transparency. And they go down the list. So this is the intelligence agencies from these five countries. They've been investigating what China has been up to with regards to this. And it talks about how China kept this information to themselves, censored news of the virus on search engines and social media beginning December 31st. Deleting terms including SARS variation, Wuhan seafood market, and Wuhan unknown pneumonia. It also, in this report, notes, as we talked about this last week, how China restricted travel in their own country from Wuhan province, but still allowed and encouraged that the international communities allow travel out of that area of their country. So it is a total indictment against China. Now the question is, what's the world going to do about this?
Yeah, well, the world says the sky's blue and China says it's orange.
Yeah.
So that it's going to be a standoff like that. I don't know what China is a big gorilla, right? I mean, and it's. You know, it's going to be difficult to, I could be wrong, it's going to be difficult to do anything immediately to make China pay for their sins here. I do think over time, though, that a lot of countries around the world have taken a look at this and said, you know what, we don't need to continue to do business as usual with China, that we need to move to trading with different companies, different countries, if possible. And certainly the U.S. moving our pharmaceutical.
Right.
Back here. I don't know how all that's going to work, but we've got to do that because you cannot be dependent on communist China government when it comes to medicines that people depend on. So in the future, I'm talking about. Now, President Trump got a little. Martha McCallum asked him about this. How long is this going to take? And he inadvertently said a date. He said about 2 years. And then he caught himself and he said, "You know what, Martha? You're making me give away my cards."
Yeah.
In dealing with China here, so I'm not going to say any more about that. But he was saying that there are plans in place to move our company, our production of our medicines back to the U.S. Does this is going to change everything in terms of China, because whether we like it or not, China has created a substantial percentage of products that we use here in America. I don't know what it is. I'm guessing 40-50%. I should know, but and they make it for cheaper than we can make it here. That's the reason we do, that's the reason our American companies do business with China.
Right.
Is because they make it cheaper. So are Americans willing to pay more for products, especially medicines, if we're going to move those companies from China back to the U.S.?
Yeah, I don't know if there's a clear answer to that. There, like you mentioned, there are other countries that can probably produce things just as cheap as China. You know, most of them probably in Southeast Asia, maybe India.
Need some more slave labor countries to find, basically, don't you think?
Well, it's not, and I don't. Yeah, we don't want to use slave labor, but you, that you know the standard of living being so low that they pay them. You couldn't pay people in this country to work as cheaply as you can in other places.
Right.
So now, in terms of making them pay for this immediate thing, this coronavirus and the deaths and the damage to the economy, that's just never going to happen because China is not going to cooperate. You know, if you're sued in this country, you have to go to court, and the other person's lawyers question you. They subpoena your records. They find out, you know, what kind of dog you've got, all that, and you've got to cooperate. China doesn't have to cooperate. The Chinese government doesn't have to tell anyone anything about how they went about doing what they did in response to the coronavirus. So you'll never get a, I don't think you can get a court to rule against China because they're just going to say we're not participating in this charade. The only thing I think this country can do is through changing trade deals and manufacturing and purchasing, all that.
Well, that's what President Trump's been working on for 3 years.
Right.
You know, he's the only president I can remember that's dealt with China head on.
Right.
In terms
right.
of our trade imbalances and things of that nature. And so he's been fighting with China over right. all these things. Some speculate, well, I'm not going to speculate. I think a lot of people believe, I'm just going to say this, a lot of people believe China is retaliating against President Trump by releasing this virus. I don't have any proof of that.
Right.
I'm just telling you that's the way a lot of people think. And so there you go.
The Chinese communist government, they are not nice people.
Right.
Ronald Reagan said of the Soviet Union, you need to say what you see. And I think we've seen a lot through this. We've seen the World Health Organization in bed with the Chinese communists. And I mean, that you know, the president says we're going to deal with this. And he has to. There's just so much known now.
Yeah. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. If anybody's got a solution to the China problem, please email.
Chime in.
Please feel free.
You mentioned medicines, Tim, but I would also say food items. I've used this example before. I was appalled when I went to a big box store in this country and found garlic from China.
Garlic from China.
Garlic cloves. Imported from China.
Our family's evidently going to have to find somewhere else to buy bats. I refuse to eat any more fried bats.
From China?
From China. I'm going to have to go somewhere else for that delicacy.
Listen, there's some foods that I just think, now I've never actually starved, so this may all be bravado, but there's some foods where I go, no, not even if I was starving. And bats are in that category.
Okay. Let me tell you another thing on a more serious note.
I was serious, though.
I know you were serious. This is a very complicated matter. It's not easily solved. You can see how the president's been working on the trade agreements, right? Mm-hmm. But trying to get a more balance, more fairness for our country. When you're talking about China, you're talking about the largest country in the world by far, right? Well, I don't know how far India is behind them, but China's the largest country in the world. So they have a very large military presence, especially in Asia. They do business all over the world, mm-hmm. Africa, Europe, North America. What President Nixon tried to do by breaking down the barriers between the political barriers to start some kind of a negotiations and some sort of how do we get along with the largest communist country in the world, you know, so that we can not have nuclear weapons pointed at us.
Right.
The idea was to bring China in as an economic partner with the world, and that's worked. So if you got to think of it this way: if you isolate a country like China completely, does that anger them more? Does that make them more of a threat? You see what I'm saying? Whereas if they're joined to the hip economically with the rest of the world, maybe they're willing to not be such a military threat, for example, or they're willing to make some concessions along the way. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's why I say that it's very complicated, and especially now,
right?
Now that we are in such a trading situation with China, because China makes these things, a lot of things that we buy. You go into Walmart or Costco or wherever you go to shop, and you just start walking down the aisle and turning over products.
I have a number, by the way. I looked this up.
Okay.
And in terms of 2018, I think it's the latest figures that I've found, that the U.S., 21% of the value of all goods the U.S. imported came from China.
Okay, I overestimated by about 20%, but...
Well, that's imports, so... and I think that some of these big chains... It's probably higher percentage.
Like if you walk in, like I said, you walk in Walmart, you just randomly walk down any aisle and turn over products that and see where they were made.
Yeah. I think those some of those big box chains, I think
maybe they, a higher percentage.
I think it's a higher percentage.
Yeah.
And then you get to other places and they buy American.
Yeah. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Next story, Fred.
I wonder where Nancy Pelosi gets her ice cream.
Because do you? Really?
Tell me ice cream's made in China.
Well, I was disappointed to find out that garlic comes from China. I can tell you that.
That's unbelievable. They ship garlic all the way over from China?
Oh, I think I told you a couple of months ago, my wife, this has gone on for a year or two. I asked her about getting some salmon. She said, well, I won't name the store. I don't want to keep giving free advertising. She said, and all they have is salmon from China. And she said, I don't buy salmon from China. I said, what are you talking about? Salmon all the way from China? She said, yes. I only buy salmon that's, you know,
right.
It's raised, you know, in the U.S. or, you know, offshore in the Northwest or whatever. So I looked it up, and yes, they ship salmon.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I eat a lot of salmon.
You're saying there's
a chance I could start talking Mandarin.
You could take that piece of fish and you turn it over, and some of it will say made in China on the other side. But
yeah. Made in China.
No, the packaging. On the packaging, it'll say made in China.
Really?
Yep.
Mm.
Or raised in China.
Did not know.
So go ahead, Fred. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
You mentioned Nancy Pelosi, Fred. So
her ice cream.
Nancy, well, apparently she's taking some extra time off from her job as House Speaker, to stay home in San Francisco,
mm-hmm.
I guess, to taste ice cream.
No, to tour Chinatown.
Or Chinatown. Come on, Kamal. But she has kept the House out of business. She's decided, unlike the Senate, our senators went back to work today in Washington. And Mitch McConnell says he's going to press forward with business like, dealing with the president's nominations for court judges. But Nancy Pelosi has decided to keep the House out of business. She says everybody needs to stay home for another 2 or 3 weeks. Well, Kevin McCarthy, who is the House Minority Leader, said, wait a minute, I'm not staying home. And the Republicans, he says, from the House, are ready to do business. And he has some suggestions how the House should come back and go to business, too. He says healthcare workers, they're all working right now against this virus. But why is it that Nancy Pelosi just wants to stay home? Here's cut number three, Kevin McCarthy.
And the one thing I see, and I'm back in Washington today, I'm watching the Senate work. I think the House needs to work. I'm on a bipartisan panel. Republicans laid out today a plan, a four-phase plan, how Congress can work. I mean, we sit here and we look at the doctors, the delivery drivers, the dispatchers. They're doing everything they can to work through this pandemic, except Congress is not.
Yeah, that's Kevin McCarthy, House Minority Leader. He says he's willing to work with Nancy Pelosi on a plan. For instance, he says we don't all have to gather in the House chamber all at once to do a vote. Maybe 40 of us can come in at a time. We'll vote, and then another 40, and then another 40 would come in and vote. I think it's a perfectly good idea. You can set up these plastic screens in offices so if people are coming in to talk to their member of Congress. It's kind of like at the grocery stores now.
Hey, let me ask you this.
Go ahead.
Excuse me. Is this virus airborne? By that, I mean, it's just me talking to somebody.
I believe so.
If you were to sneeze.
Yeah.
If you were to sneeze.
Yes.
Okay.
It is airborne, and I think it can be transmitted.
Well, I should know that. I knew that. I've seen enough to know that. It's airborne by coughing or sneezing. But it's not airborne by just a normal talk. I've heard singing. In other words, you have to belt out something, right, to be able to spread this virus.
Some of us talk that way all the time, Tim.
Duly noted. I don't know.
Like laughing. Like I just laughed. I think if you're close enough, that's why it's supposed to be 6 feet.
Yeah.
I think that's what they say, cough in your sleeve, sneeze in your sleeve, so you kind of suffer. You keep, but.
Then you know what? We're going to be dealing with this till the Lord comes back.
This is going to be a regular thing, isn't it?
If that's the case, then we might as well take our medicine now because, as it were, what my wife said last night, we just need to take our medicine on this thing. You can build herd immunity.
Right.
So I would like our, I'm thinking about encouraging our staff to come back and start leading the way on herd immunity. see what kind of volunteerism we get for that. See if they're patriotic enough to volunteer for herd immunity. But, you know, I'm just saying if that's the standard, then there's going to be no more sporting events. It's going to change the world permanently.
Until there's a vaccine.
Until there's a vaccine, and who knows when that's going to be.
Yeah, or a cure. You know, if something, you know, whether it's this drug or that drug, if it shortens its lifespan and gets people through it without, you know,
Or you'll have enough people say, you know what, I understand the risk, but I'm still going to the convenience store.
Right.
Somebody may cough while I'm there, but you know what I'm saying?
Make America immune again. Make America.
You need to submit that to President Trump.
Immune again.
I can see that on a cap.
Yeah. On a cap. That's right. Make America immune again. Maya. That's Maya.
Okay.
You heard it here first, folks.
There you go.
For good or bad.
Copyright it right away.
For good or bad.
If you're going to tell me there's going to be no college football, I'm just going to tell you right now, don't tell me that because I don't want to hear it.
Right.
I will put my hands in my ears, my fingers in my ears, even though I think is that unsafe?
Well, it's not technically touching your face.
That's what I'm saying. Can it get in through your ears? Put your fingers in your ears?
I don't think so.
I haven't heard that one.
I haven't heard that one either.
Okay.
Well, that's Dr. Fauci.
So, anyway. I could continue on with that rant, but I'll stop.
I know this
right
is
there.
this is kind of a lingering fear for you. No college football. It's
what's America, then? Really? All right, go ahead, Fred. Tell me some more good news.
Yeah. Next story.
Uh-huh.
There is word this morning that Joe Biden, the man who would be president, has selected a running mate to be on the ticket with him.
But he forgot. Forgot who it was. Give me that list again.
Good old what's her name?
That is funny.
Honey, what was that lady we called last night? What was her? Tell me your name again.
Yeah. The one who accepted to be my best vice presidential.
What got me the other day was when that Stacey Abrams, what's her name, the lady from Georgia?
Stacey Abrams.
Yeah, the on the short list.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Woman who ran for governor. Senator, governor.
Yeah.
Governor
over there in Georgia. She was doing an interview on one of the channels, CNN or somebody, and about Joe Biden, and she was vouching for him. You know, said the New York Times had investigated the allegation against for him for sexual abuse, and you could just tell by the old facial expressions and body language and so forth. I don't even know if she's ever met Joe Biden, huh? She doesn't know him, and she's vouching up for him by citing some New York Times article. It was like, please select me vice president. Yes. I'll say anything.
I think she's been actively campaigning to be the VP choice.
It was like, I'll do and say anything. I'll even protect you, a man I don't even hardly know.
Yes.
Huh? It was just embarrassing for her. But, okay, so, Fred, you're telling me he's already...
There are reports that he has chosen. Boy, and President Trump is going to have a field day with this, because hear it now, Sleepy Joe... That's what he calls Joe Biden, Sleepy Joe and Pocahontas.
Yeah.
Can you?
Elizabeth Warren.
Elizabeth Warren, apparently.
That's the rumor.
That's the rumor that he has chosen her to be the running mate.
The geriatric vote is one. Huh? If that matters.
You're talking
about a combined age of about 160 right there. I think Elizabeth Warren's in her early 70s. Maybe she's 70. I don't know. How old is Elizabeth Warren?
I am going to check because you asked. I am going to check, sir. Should I look under Pocahontas?
Pocahontas age.
Okay. All right. So Brent's faster.
Well, she's youthful. She's 70. Mm-hmm. Because President Trump's like 73, isn't he? Something like that.
Yeah. So to me, if Joe Biden picks Elizabeth Warren, that's good for President Trump, I think.
I agree.
Oh, yeah.
Because that is going to be a far left ticket. I think that he could have picked a woman who would have been more appealing to middle America, to independents. If he
now,
picks
this
Elizabeth
is a rumor.
Warren, this is only a rumor.
Yes.
Well, it's kind of one of those kind of things that's kind of like an open secret that I heard somebody on Fox News say, the rumor is he's picked somebody and it's Elizabeth Warren.
Now, he is, if that's the case, he is trying to connect the establishment Democrats with the far lefties.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're trying to, from that perspective, for the Democrat Party, that's a good idea. That's a smart idea. But I do think with the general public that helps President Trump, because I don't think that's going to impress the crossover of the independent voter.
Right.
Elizabeth, no private insurance Warren.
Right. Yes.
But I wonder how that's going to affect the African-American vote, because there was a lot of speculation he would choose a Kamala Harris, maybe a Stacey Abrams, in order to bring in that vote as well.
Well, they're going to get that vote anyway. Hmm. The African-American women are not going to vote Republican.
Or maybe stay home.
But why would you? Yeah, maybe so. The African-American vote is going for the Democrats, just a matter of what percentage. They often go 90%. And so I don't think, anyway. Thank you, Fred, for
your
contributions.
All righty.
Fred is made in Canada. We'll be back in a minute.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.